used at a certain time of the year, that they could be used and things like that to put people in for weekly time frames or something. I didn't understand all of it. I just kind of caught it in the middle of the conversation, so probably shouldn't even brought it up, but I think it's something that we need to talk about with them, find out how they qualified,
right,
because they did mention that Stone County received the benefit and Taney County didn't.
Not aware of it.
Is this Alan that was on the radio?
No, it was a representative, a lady, and I either didn't catch her name or...
Okay, we'll just have to ask Alan, I guess,
right,
next week then.
Right.
All right. Next, got board appointment, SB 40.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do this?
I don't know.
This is, as Mike Lytle said, we got five people and...
Three positions.
Five good people and three positions.
Max explained that very well. We have, and everybody that's the qualifications for everyone that's on this list, is good. Several people have served for some length of time. The ones that weren't here, he did mention that, you know, sometimes new blood is in an organization is good. I've looked and read over all the resumes or the comments made on the people that are asking to be on the board. Do you want to start making some nominations, or how do you want to proceed?
Well, I'll throw some names out, and you guys, once again, this was a difficult... I mean, a lot of times we have a challenge to find one good qualified, and we've got five. In no particular order, I would like to... I mean, I don't know if I need a motion, but I'll tell you the three that I'm leaning toward is Kathy Dodds, Dean Porter, and Chuck O'Day. Those are the three I'm looking at. So,
Ted? Sounds good to me. That's kind of what I had on my mind, quite frankly.
Okay. Danny, do you have any thoughts?
Kathy's
right now the VP.
Right, and from the way I understood Max, it was with the qualifications and everything that they have on this, it's kind of a flip of the coin to how you pick those.
Right.
I did consider all the names that you mentioned.
Sure.
If that's a motion that you want to take.
Well, is there somebody else you want to consider, or are you fine with that, or?
No, I looked at all of them. The other two people are dedicated and have worked hard and are great.
Right.
So, I'm fine with, if you want to make that into a motion.
All right, well, I move that Kathy Dodds, Dean Porter, and Chuck O'Day are appointed to the SB 40 board.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any comments or questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Next, we're ready.
Can I make a statement? We have received, I've received a couple of calls for other boards,
mm-hmm,
and I told them to transfer those calls to our office and send in a short resume or that they're of their interest in serving on, I think, last week, and it was put in the paper very well, that we had a need for board members. And so as we received the response, they think they should call their commissioner and that we should be the ones that would recommend them or whatever. We need resumes. It's just like this situation here where we had the more the better. If a person doesn't get to serve on one of these boards and they want to serve the county in some other capacity, fine. Or if they're a specialist in any certain field and they want to serve the county, fine. We just need resumes. We need good people to you hear people constantly complain about the way government works. And if you don't take an interest and want to serve on some of these boards, then the complaints should be minimal, because we need good people to get involved. This is your county. It doesn't belong to the commission or anybody else. It is the citizens' county, and they need to get involved. And basically what I'm saying is we need your help.
Okay. All right. Ready to go to FEMA?
Yes.
FEMA discussion. Who put that on the... Eddie's shaking his head. I didn't do nothing. Who wants to start? Eddie's ready. The man in the know.
I'm Eddie Coxey with Taney County Planning. 2 weeks ago in your Monday meeting, this topic came up, and it was decided at that time that we probably needed to get some information. I was contacted, asked to, I guess, give just a brief history and a procedure of what goes on. I believe this has to do with our floodplain maps, and as people begin to refinance their homes or build a home or buy a home or anything like that, now they're finding that they are in the floodplain. Maybe I haven't known that for years and years, or maybe, you know, whatever the case might be. And it's kind of a long, drawn-out procedure, and there's some expense to these folks and everything. What I want to do real quick, though, is just give you a quick history, and then I'll tell you what happens in our office and everything like that, and then see if you have any questions or anything like that. I've placed in your hands a little packet of information, which basically would show you some of the history. It has some in the very back. It has a couple of the old flood maps and the new flood maps. It has two forms that we use when people are found out they're in the floodplain, maybe shouldn't be. The oldest document I put my hands on was dated April 22nd, 2002. It was a preliminary floodplain ordinance. Had Joe Chowning's name on it, and Deborah Clark was the clerk. As far as I know, that document was never acted upon. It wasn't finished up. Our current floodplain ordinance is signed, I believe, by our current clerk and by Mr. Pendleton's presiding commissioner. March of 2004, Taney County received a letter from FEMA, and that's on the very first page of what you've got there, indicating that it would recognize Taney County as a Phase 1 National Flood Insurance participant. And that took effect in April of that same year of 2004. In 2004, the National or FEMA began to issue maps to Taney County. And if you look in the very last tab there, you can see that it's a map similar to this one, which basically tells you nothing at all. That was... you know, how things begin to go. They also made the determination then that they would take available information, as stated in the letter there, and issue the new flood maps for Taney County as the new participant in the flood insurance program. In May of 2006, let's see, the county, well, let me back up. In April of 2005, there was a community action visit in Taney County by FEMA. They also, at that particular time, delivered the preliminary floodplain maps that they were going to print as the final floodplain maps that we're operating on now. At that community action visit, they went through the areas that were in the floodplain, showing what needed to be done and different things like that. There was a list of, I think, 12 properties that Larry Rowland and Kirk Larson worked on to bring into compliance with the National Flood Insurance Program. And then they also delivered a set of maps for the county to begin using and to review for issues and problems. And then those were supposed to be, sent through either the commissioners or through the planning office. If their issues came up, that letters were to be sent in so that corrections could be made. In May of 2006, Taney County received its final print of the floodplain maps that we now have in place that are dated September 26, 2006. Taney County then had an additional 90 days to indicate any problems or issues with those floodplain maps. And at that particular time, those corrections would be made are investigated, and if nothing else was mentioned, they would go into effect, and then we begin to follow the rules that FEMA has for making changes. So what happens now is, if you would choose to refinance your home or to build a new home in the floodplain, if you're building, you would come to us, and we would our application has a statement on there. Is this in the floodplain? Of course, we always check that to make sure. If it is, we have a packet of papers we give, and I believe that's on tab 3 for you guys, if I'm not mistaken. And it's application to build in the floodplain. It tells you what has to be done and how everything has. Is it tab 2? I thought tab 2 was the MTEZ. Is it not? Make sure.
It doesn't matter.
No, they're different for different reasons. But anyway, we have an application to build, and on that application to build, FEMA requires an elevation certificate. And then they'll work their way back to what's considered the base elevation, flood elevation in that area. So depending on where you're at, how much you have to build up, things like that, it determines your flood rate on the insurance. Also, if you choose to refinance your home or buy a home in the area, all of a sudden the companies now, the lending institutions, are using what they call determination companies. And these determination companies go in and they'll tell the lending institute whether they consider the property to be in the floodplain or not in the floodplain. The determination companies, as a rule, will say if any part of your property touches the floodplain, you're in the floodplain. Now, your structure may be out, and it may not be in the floodplain due to elevation or something like that, but that sets in place the procedure of then coming to our office to look at our maps. If you'll, in the very back page of that document I gave you, is the most detailed map that we have for FEMA. And as you can see, we will not make the determination for somebody unless they're completely out. That happens to be the area down at Poverty Point. And I picked that because there's a lot of floodplain down in there. But we would tell a person, if they want to know if they're in the floodplain, and if it's iffy, we'll say you need to come in and pinpoint your property on here. And when they would come in and they would do that, we would then say, according to this map, the probability is yes. I don't know what your elevations are or anything like that. And if they are certain that they're not in the floodplain at that particular time, we would give them the MTEZ form, which gives, of course, again, puts the responsibility on their person. They have to go out and have an engineer because it has to be signed and sealed by either, you know, a licensed surveyor or an engineer to establish the elevation of their property. And then he's got several options as far as highest adjacent grade, different things like that, to determine where the property actually lies. They gather the information. They also have what's called a firmat. There's a picture of that in there. It has to be gotten in some other documents. They send that into FEMA, and then FEMA makes the determination whether to take them out of the flood insurance program or not, or whether they're in the floodplain or not. And then if they do, they would send us what's called a LOMA, Letter of Map Amendment, which we keep on file here. And then when other people in the area would run into the same situation, we give them a copy of that to send in with that also. I did talk with Dale Smutzler, who's with SEMA, to make sure that the process that we're following is correct. He assures me that we're doing everything correctly, and that he's, you know, pleased with the process that we're making here. Also, I asked him. I said, you know, had several people ask me to issue them a letter stating I don't believe they're in the floodplain. Sometimes you come up on a cliff where, you know, it's 80 feet down, and their property is touching the water, but there's no way they're going to be in the floodplain. He said there was a time for that, but that time has passed, and now if somebody's considered in the floodplain by the determination company or by the maps, they must go through this process to take themselves out of that. On the bright side, I suppose, if anything, if they're having to pay the flood insurance to keep their home or have their home financed or whatever the case might be, and they do get their LOMA in place by FEMA, which is normally about 90 days once that's sent in, they are, by FEMA's ordinance, supposed to have their premiums returned for that current year. So they're not out that expense. They are out the expense of the engineer and that kind of thing like that. But so basically that's what goes on, guys. Also, I've talked to, talking with Mr. Smutzler, you saw recently that there was a grant obtained from the federal government by one of the state senators to redo some of the flood maps for four different counties, two that are just now entering the National Flood Insurance Program, and two that were already in it. Taney County is one of those. So we're going to be getting updated, better maps, and I would think at that particular time we would have the opportunity to, again, go through the 90-day process to, if we're having problems, to make those problems known and maybe possibly get some people removed from the floodplain that truly are not in that. Now, as to the process, he said somewhere between March and September, their mapping department would be with us making contact, and at that particular time we'll let you know if it doesn't come through your office what's going on there. But that's the history. That's what happens. So when somebody comes into my office, we tell them the history, what's going on. We explain the forms to them. The forms have all the instructions on that and everything like that. But we don't have the ability to write them a letter and say, you're not in the floodplain.
Eddie, my mind wandered. Just towards the end of that, you were talking about they were coming back in March or something. What was that about?
Regarding the grant that
there was a grant that was given as part of the stimulus package. I guess it's secured by one of the state senators to reduce, create maps for two counties, and then to redo digitalize maps for two other counties that already have maps. And Taney County is one of the counties that they're going to come in. For better definition of the maps and everything, better clarity, and these maps are based on programs that they have, and sometimes those programs don't always flow the way that the water flows or that the land flows. So they realize there's some issues. So they're going to put a little more time into Taney County to just make sure that we have the most update and accurate maps that we can have.
So once that's done, the process is we'll have that. Once it all goes through, we have a 90-day review process, which we can contest a parcel if it's...
Generally, we do have that, and I would assume that would be extended to us.
Okay.
And, of course, now we're all a lot more savvy than what we were at that particular time, and we know there's some areas that probably should not be shown to be in the floodplain at all. I would encourage you... to make lists or let us know of areas that you know of, and then we can actually look at those and see how they fall. I will bring up one more thing, and I don't want to get into it too heavy, but you remember about two years ago they were talking about increased flow weights out of Table Rock Lake to stabilize the level of bull shoals and everything like that, which in essence raised our floodplain level about 4 feet. And of course you were involved with that with some roads and some issues like that that you had. Our current map, I believe, is indicative of that increase. So it did change. You know, some people who weren't in and things like that. So.
Okay. So it's safe to say if someone wants to build in the floodplain or have a question, they just need to come see you.
That's what happens, yes, sir, because we have to keep documentation. When FEMA does stop in occasionally with what they call community action visits, it's not with any given regularity. It's years apart. But the first thing they want to know is, I want to see all the permits that you've issued. For anybody that's building in the floodplain, they will drive all the floodplain areas. They will make sure that every house in there or every building in there does have the proper permit and that it does meet their requirements as far as being in the floodplain.
Okay. I had a couple experiences. One of them around Emory Creek, mm-hmm. north of Branson, and another one out close to the west, our west line. Can't remember the area exactly, but anyhow, folks came and they were having difficulties, and I don't know if that was before you got here or not, but it may have been Larry and Kurt working on them. But anyhow, I spent some time trying to help them because it was an issue, as you mentioned, where the property was up on a bluff, and the other side of the creek was low, and the map was just, anybody falling off a log could tell it was wrong. And I can't remember how that played out, but I talked to Mr. Smutzler, I remember his name, and anyway, we had a number of phone calls, and as I remember, the property owners were stuck with getting a surveyor to come redo it at $1,500 cost. And I can't remember the whole story, but it was a rotten deal.
Yes, sir.
And
it is a rotten deal. It does give FEMA better on-site data, but it doesn't seem like that the individual should have to pay for that to be gathered.
Have you been through others of those? I mean,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the property owner's stuck with getting a survey?
Yes, sir. And we've called and asked, again, that's why we call and say, if we have a situation like this and we take a couple pictures and give you, a letter from our office stating that this clearly is not right, is that sufficient? And the answer is always a resounding no, that is not sufficient. We have to have elevation established.
As I'm thinking, I remember calling Senator Bond's office and they tried to help.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you guys would carry more weight than I do in talking with anybody because of your office and everything. But they want us to follow their procedure. And if we deviate from that procedure or if we ignore that procedure, you will get a call and the threats from FEMA, to that effect. I found FEMA to be very easy to work with. They've got their own ideas and everything like that, and then they try to adapt those to the county here, and that's been very nice. But they don't want you messing with their rules and regulations.
So, for history, give us a little more history. We're stuck with this. I mean,
until new maps are drawn, we're stuck. Is that correct?
I'm not talking about that so much as. We had a vote many years ago.
You have the right to, you can elect to remove yourself from the National Flood Insurance Program. I'm sure that won't come without some kind of repercussions. I've heard things said that, the federal government insures a lot of loans, home loans and different things like that. And without this National Flood Insurance Program, eventually, I'm not saying it's in place, and this is just some on-site FEMA guys that we were talking with, and so, I couldn't promise you this would be the case or anything, but they would have the right to say no federally insured loans in that county because it's unsafe. That's a possibility. I don't know if they would do that. There was a couple other counties, I believe, in Missouri here that are not part of the National Flood Insurance Program. Like I said, two of those are now coming into the program. Right now, I've not seen anything like that happen. You voted to get in. I would think you could get out if you would choose to. I do know if you go into non-compliance with them, as long as you are a member, that there can be repercussions for that. But I would be glad to talk to Mr. Smutzler and the FEMA representatives to see what the process would be.
You got any sense? Like the homes I'm thinking of are below Tabor Rock Dam that had flooding.
Down on Foggy River Road?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You got any sense of how many homes that wouldn't be able to get flood insurance? Is that right, if we pulled out?
That is, well.
They wouldn't be able to.
They could get flood insurance, but they could not get it through this national program, so they would pay whatever. They can
but
best borrow.
They may not get an FDIC loan either.
Right. FHA, different kind of loans they would not be able to qualify for. Unfortunately, that particular area there is not only a floodplain, but it's also a floodway. And as you know, in a floodway, we're not supposed to allow anyone to build. And if you sustain 50% damage, the structure is supposed to be removed. Of course, that is something that FEMA did work with us on due to the nature of our business down there. And then recently we also went through a nine-month process with a lady who owns a lot down there that she had for sale. She had to get an engineered no-rise certificate, which is a whole different process, before that lot could even be usable so we could issue a permit. And it took about 9 months. And it ended up costing her about $8,000 to determine that her lot could be used under this program. It is usable, and it is somewhat restricted on what can be done there. But yeah, there's a lot of restrictions with this program.
James, you brought this up. You want to got comments or questions ready or?
Oh, while James is coming up, Eddie, I'm not interested in leaving the program, just to let you know.
Well, I don't know if anybody is. I'll just say if you would like, I can get the information how we would go about that.
The reason I ask the question, Jim, is, I mean, it's, if you're in that position, you've got property. That's a question that comes to your mind. Why are we in this? And that's why I asked the question.
Real quick before James comes, depending on your elevation, determines your rate. Every half foot or foot that you go below the base flood elevation for that area, your rate goes up, and every half to half foot above that, it goes down. We've seen people in that would see as much as $200 to $300 added per month to their mortgage payment because of the flood insurance program. And so in the long run, of course, it does behoove them to go ahead and get the insurance, get the LOMA done if they're truly out. If they're in, they're in. I mean, you know, and they can have all the surveys done, everything they want. They do end up running, like you say, about $1,500 probably to get out. However, they do get a reimbursement for their current year premiums, you know, if they're proven to be out. But they still have the outlay of money there just to, you know, for something that may not have been their fault at all.
Right. James Strahan, as you know, and I know Chuck well remembers, I fought FEMA tooth and toenail because of some of the things that was said that they would do for the citizens. And this lady that referenced on Acacia Club was the drive behind getting FEMA adopted in Taney County. When I met with Representative Blunt at the time, and we talked about definitions, it was always floodplain, floodplain, floodplain. But then in the final draft of what the people got bestowed upon them was the term floodway. Now, Mr. Blunt said that he would thought the problem that I had with the terminology floodway is the definition itself. Any tributary that has the capabilities of getting out of its embankments. Mr. Blunt said to me in a meeting, that would mean any ditch line, wouldn't it, James? And I said, what does it mean? The federal government's one wrote this. So, and at that time it was sold to the people that any building had to be 1 foot above the floodplain to be allowed to build in it, the main floor of the building. There was many things that was bestowed upon the citizens that wasn't there in the adoption. We have a gentleman sitting over here right now, Rob Dalton, that is going to have to pay between $800 and $1,000 to prove his house is not in a floodplain, that it clearly shows on the floodplain map that it is. Well, he told me earlier today that the surveyor said it was not. Now then, with this modern age of GPS, coordinates out of this world, why is it put back on a citizen to have to determine that if he's in this federally adopted floodplain, why is it the citizen's problem then to go back and say, got to hire a surveyor to see whether I am or not? We have the capabilities to shoot in by satellite every elevation in this floodplain. I know we have it, and you guys know we have it. We have every driveway GPS'd, I understand, in Taney County. Culverts, signs, crossroads, stop signs. But this citizen had to go out. Now then, if he has a neighbor that has to go in, he can use these coordinates that this gentleman had to pay for to say he's out of the floodplain. So all of a sudden you get one individual that establishes the point for the federal government that ought to have established it themselves when the neighbor won't have that kind of expense. And so there's nothing fair in my eyes about the way they've brought this in. They promised at the time, I can't get nobody to come through with that promise today, that they would have Taney County mapped sufficiently, I believe, from this same gentleman. I don't know his name and definitely don't want to know how to spell it.
said that they would have that done in a 2-year time frame once Taney County adopted. That was a big issue. The issue was, a gentleman from Branson was sitting right over here, was asked how they determine flood coordinates in the city of Branson since they already belong to FEMA. He said, quote, "I squat down by a fire hydrant and spot the other fire hydrant and tell you whether it's in the floodplain or not and in the flood coordinates." Well, I don't believe that cost nobody between $800 and $1,000. That was the administrator of Branson Planning and Zoning that said that. So for the other far reaches of Taney County, where this was argued at the time, how is it going to affect these rural areas? It's not a problem. It'll never be pushed to that limit. We're concerned more about the centralized housing areas and all this type stuff. Flood insurance purchase would have paid 100% on your house if you was in the flood plain. The FEMA ordinance that's pushed on us, if you've got a 50% damage, it's 100% loss. FEMA doesn't have to pay 50% the value of your house back to you. So the advantages and disadvantages of FEMA flood ordinance, I know many counties have fought it for years. It's come through the banking industry that you've got to have this insurance. Of course, we all know we had a gentleman sitting on the board of a bank when this was passed that sat on the county commission. So I'm not, it's more like a Nancy Pelosi-style government. I heard that quote last night. You citizens sit down and shut up, we'll tell you what's good for you or not. And I don't like it at all. Okay. Mr. Rob has some stats that you may want to hear.
Okay. Before you leave, James, do you remember when that was passed?
2004, I believe. We'd had huge hearings through 2002, 2003, and 2004 when it was finally passed. It was passed, the recommendation of our Planning and Zoning Board said, do not pass this. You do not pass it. The vote was unanimous, 6-3. County Commission, do not pass it. We had our county commission ask that board to come up with that determination, that they was going to rely on it. When they came back 6-3 vote not to adopt it, it was adopted by the county commission anyway. And that's all on record. But Rob has been asked to be here this morning, and he's a working gentleman that came in and give his time. But Rob Dalton is the gentleman this has come back to haunt.
Let's give Rob a chance, and then I'd like to know if you got an idea how to fix the problem, James.
Don't have one idea. The only way I knew to fix the problem is never accept the problem at the time it was accepted. You don't have a problem if it's not there.
Before Rob comes up, we have a 2-minute recess.
In a recess?
Yes.
Okay.
Just 2 minutes and then lay it up and give you time to
get up there. All right, 2-minute recess.
All right.